You are listening to Sister Speak Life with your host, Marlene Paul.
One thing I do know that I've learned and from my faith journey with God is that everything is a stepping stone. That everything that we go through, God is using it. You might not think it's necessary, it is not needed, but it is a stepping stone to where God is calling you. Welcome to Sister Speak Life. I am so glad you're able to join us again this week. I'm your host, Marlene, and today I am joined by my co-host, Erica. Before we begin, I would like to remind you of a few things. First, please subscribe to our episode. Secondly, if you haven't done so already, please leave a review of how this podcast has been encouraging your soul. We also would like to invite you to join our Facebook community. If you go to Facebook and look up Sisters Speak Life, you'll be able to find our podcast community. We are more than just a podcast. We are a community of women that are inspiring each other to live a spiritually balanced life. Now, on today's episode, I'm having a conversation with Erica where we are beginning our season where we're sharing our stories. And today I will be sharing my story of how I come to faith with God. Because our theme for this season is the power of your story. Find the message of God in your story to share to the world. And I am just excited just to open up this season, just sharing to you a little bit more about my story. And I hope it encourages you as you hear our conversation. So sit back and enjoy what you're about to hear. So today we're having a conversation. Well, we're telling our stories. Well, I'm telling my story first, and Erica will be hearing my story for the first time or second time, or some part will be a little bit different, and she'll be asking questions. So I hope you guys enjoy this conversation, and we'll begin. So I can begin from the beginning, you know, so I feel like I was born saved, but I don't think that, you know, I didn't become a true believer and didn't take Christ for myself until I was in high school. So my parents had laid that foundation of being in a Christian home for the longest time. So when we grew up in the island, it was, you know, we know about going to church, going to school, and being home. In Creole, they say l'église, l'école, la caille, mean church, home, school, all you live by. So, yeah, so that was everything. One of the things that my dad always told me when I was going to school is always to put God first, then your family, and then education and your friends and everybody else second. So it was like, those are the top three. You need to make sure that you value those things. So I know when I was growing up, I need to make sure we went to church and we have a reverence for God. And we also did good in school. I would bring home a B and they would say, why not bring home an A? I'll bring home an A. And they say, why not an A plus? I'll bring home an A plus. And they'll be like, you need to get an A plus plus. I'm like, you know, I can't get any better than this. So, and then they have a whole big love of family. So if you know my family, we love each other. If you're, you know, joining our family, you will have to learn that we really love each other. We do. Although we have our quirks, we have each other's back. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing, but I had to learn. And as a married woman, I had to learn to balance between my extended family and my new nucleus family, because you become so attached to your family, accustomed to things the way it is. And you have to learn, okay, now I have this other person in my family that we become one, and we have to have that balance with that. So that was one of our... Maybe one day when my husband comes on, I can share more about that, because we have stories about trying to balance what is our family and what is our extended family. But we have learned to deal with that.
So let me ask you something, Mar. So you said that the foundation, you know, your dad and your mom said God, you know, they put God first and they taught you guys to put God first. So tell me, you know, some examples of how they put God first other than going to church every day. How did they put God first in their marriage and in their family, in your home? And what part of that process do you feel that you took and put into your marriage and your family and mm-hmm. your home?
Well, I know you said majorly of going to church was a big part of it, but I know praying was one thing that they put in, like, implemented in the family. So mm-hmm. it's like, okay, we would pray all the time. My father had those big Bible.
We all had those. The ones that were decoration, you and I were supposed to use them.
Well, he actually made us use it. So you don't say you have no homework. You're going to be writing from the Bible and copying from the Bible. So that was one thing. But prayer was an essential part that they put in at our home. And also even like singing, like the worship mm-hmm. song and singing. So we would learn the songs, sing together. So when we go to church, we can go and sing together in front of everybody. But one thing they put in there was prayer. But one thing that I did take away was that growing up, every start of the new school year, my dad, my mom would have us kneel down and they would pray over us.
Wow.
So that before we go, they would pray over. Even now, when the school start, I am a grown woman. I'll pray over my son, but I also have my mom and my dad say, can y'all pray over me? I'm about to go and teach these kids. And I would do that. I'd call them and they would pray over me. And then I'll be like in boo-hoo tears. Because, you know, I guess with me working, I also work with VITAS and I also deal with hospice. And I know people, even with COVID going on now, people lost family and parents. And when I had the opportunity to have them pray with me, I know I see it as precious because they're not always going to be there. Mm-hmm. So I value all those moments of prayer as precious because then my mom would mention her mom that's not here right now. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm just mindful of that because like one day she will not be there. Sometimes I don't want to think about it, but because of the world we're living in, I think about it. So I value all these little moments, all these little prayer, all these little words of wisdom, you know, as nuggets of gold in this season. And even like the moment I have to spend with her, even if her silliness, I value this as of gold because I'm not going to always have that. So, but that's one thing I do instill in my son, that before he goes to school, before the school year, we pray over him. We say a blessing. Well, now with what I do additionally, I would speak affirmations over him. So when he had to leave the house, I would take my little oil, but I had like little, I use the Lush, they have the Lush smelling oil, have mm-hmm. one that's called Breath of God. And I use that and it smells really good. And I would put it over him. And I would say these affirmations, I'd say, you are, you know, you are smart. You are a child of God. You are, you know, I would speak over him. And if I don't do that, he'll be like, Mommy, you forgot to pray over me. And when I'm done, he'll be like, in Jesus' name, amen. So I did that with him daily because I was finding that daily that the attack was more stronger on the kids when they go to school. So, and that's one thing that I've done. On top of praying for them every, you know, first day of the school year and just do it over and over. But right now he's home more often and we decided to homeschool him just for a little bit until everything settles down. So, but that's a good question though. So I was like, I didn't even think about that. But you have anything else? You're going to say something?
No. No. Keep going. Yeah. No, we want to hear your story. Yeah, they want to get too far left. I want to hear more about how you managed to come to God, how God is.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm just like sharing my faith journey. Yeah, so just growing up, I know what, before we got to the United States, I had this dream about this big figure. All I can see is his robe and his feet. And it was bright. I'm like, okay, who is this? In my dream, I was kind of like, okay. And he's like saying, go. And he says, Matthew. I'm like, what? Go. And Matthew, I woke up and I said, Mom, I saw this big figure. I think it was God. And he told me to go. So me, I'm there thinking my Bible, thinking I have to go and preach the gospel to my godfather, my god sister's father, because I'm thinking, oh, he gambles, he smokes, so I have to go get him saved. So me, 8 years old, I'm thinking my Bible. My parents let me walk in the neighborhood. This is when you know it was different atmosphere where you can walk 2 blocks down on your own, go knock on your neighbor's door.
Completely and go, different.
Yeah, and have to go and share the gospel with him. So I didn't even know how to read. I took a French Bible and I didn't even know how to read the English one. So, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. I was just saying, it told me to go. So I'm going to go. I got there and he was not home. So they're okay. I probably was wrong. So I went back home like he was not there and I never follow up. But as I was growing, when we came to the United States, I got involved with Youth for Christ, and I got involved with Campus Crusade for Christ, and I found out that in Matthew, the Great Commission was there, where it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And when I was looking at the mission statement of Campus Crusade, one of them is like, win, build, send. So they win you to Christ, they build you up, and they send you into to do the same thing. I'm like, this is what God told me to do, is to go. But let me back up a little bit. Before I even got involved with Campus Crusade, I said I was involved with Youth for Christ. It's through Youth for Christ I got saved. So I joined this, you know, how my dad said one of the value was God. The first, you'll put God first. And then I got to high school and there was a Bible club. I'm like, well, I was in so many different clubs in high school, like Bible club, French club, math club, honor society, student, just to keep myself busy, you know, just for education, because I'm part of education too. And with the Bible club, I saw young people on fire for God. And that was the first time. I went to church all my life with my parents. Mm-hmm. I have never seen people, young people like my age or, you know, younger than me, mm-hmm. actually taking the word of God and teaching it and taking it as a, you know, a priority. I'm thinking, oh, we just go to church and we're just kids and we're just listening. It's something you have to do, but it's something that they did personally. Mm-hmm. And I went to a Youth for Christ crusade or a program, and I had my brother, Ronnie, he was younger. They had us do this skit with Kirk Franklin. I think it's Hero. Is it Hero? The one with the, there's mm-hmm. a child. Something mm-hmm. like that. So I was a mother with a child dying on the stage. And then my sister was there crying because she thought her brother was dead. And then I was there, you know, like listening to a song, and it really got, you know, just all the way through the skit several times. It's just like, in that moment, you see other people. It's like this. I felt a really strong move of the spirit on my mm-hmm. life.
Was that the first time?
That was the first time.
It was.
Yeah. And then the minister or whoever would preach the gospel and call for us to who want to be saved. And I went forward and I gave my life to Christ. And I was like 16 years old. And after that, you couldn't stop me from talking about this God that just, you know, because I now understand for myself, I'm not going to church because my parents told me to go to church. I'm going to because I want to. I want to find more. I'm there reading the Word of God. They gave us this book called 21 Days to a Deeper Relationship with God. I was like going through it, writing notes. And it's like, I'm thinking, I want more. So I graduated. I'm like, okay, now I'm going to go to college and I won't have this experience. I was a little bit scared. Mm. And the first thing I remember when I was at FIU, they had a club where they have all these different clubs on campus that you can join. And then I saw the table with Campus Crusade for Christ and they were recruiting members to join. And like I'm thinking, so the Bible club, I'm going to join. And to find out that it was like the book that I was reading, 21 Days to a Deeper Relationship with God, was written by the founder of Campus Crusade.
Wow.
So it was like, and it was like, it's through them that my walk with God got deeper, because I went on, they, when I say they win the build ascent, they actually, you already, if you're a believer, they build you up, you know.
Who was the founder?
Bill Bright.
Bill Bright.
So it was just like, I didn't get to meet him in person, but I know he passed away while I was in college, but someone else took it over. So, and I went to Colorado to a student leadership summit, which is where I learned how to have a quiet time. They put us in a room with other kids in college that have relationship with God, and like, okay, from this, you have a quiet time. I'm like, a quiet time? What are you doing? You just sit there quietly and do nothing? They're like, no, you spend time with God. You just read your Bible. You know, listen to music. So I'm like, oh. So I was learning new techniques on how to really listen to God, how to develop my personal relationship with God. So I spent 2 weeks just getting all that training to come back to my campus and to train other leaders also. And that was like the most amazing experience, to meet students from all around the country on fire for God. You have young men who are chivalrous. I think I still have some of the notes that they wrote. The last day before we left, they wrote the guys who were part of the ministry, who were, because they had a guy's dorm and a girl's dorm. The guys made flour out of tissue paper. They wrote, had index card, and they personally wrote notes to each of us personally about our character and how encouraging to God.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that, even to this day, if I can find, I need to look for one. It really encouraged me, because I said, okay, that is really good. This is how men of God are supposed to be. This is how they're supposed to take care of their sisters. And so I was like, this is what, so when I come back, I'm like looking for that. So, you know, so when you get something good, you can't go back to what is different. So when I got to college, you know, the ministry took off. I recruit leaders. That's how I met my friends and the Shashas. And
what does Shasha stand for? You know, this is definitely something that you hear often about on these podcasts, are the Shashas. Oh. And so how did you come up with the name?
Okay. So here, a group of us in part of Campus Crusade had another, was like, there was a group of six girls. They called themselves the Shushus, because in Creole, Shushu means when you're talking, you're always talking. So they called themselves the Shushus, and we wanted to be a part of them, but they didn't want us to be a part of them, because that's their. So, okay, well, if we can't be the Shushus, we're going to make our own called the Shashas.
Well, that's definitely a way to do it.
So we call ourselves the Shashas. It was all in fun, but it becomes more of a sisterhood now, where we pray with each other. So now we meet once a month virtually, but when we were in college, we did life together. We would go on trips, we would pray together, we would meet together, and we all met each other while we were in college. And then now we're going through our life, we graduated, we are getting, some of us are married, our kids. So we're doing life together. We're encouraging each other in prayer. Every year we set goals with each other for a year, and we pray each other through the goals. So how are you doing towards your goal? How are you doing towards your vision? We're like cheering each other on. So it is through the Shashas that it helped form and the way my Rose of Alpha Omega is structured. Because that same sisterhood that I get through them, when I mention it to other people, they don't have that connection. And I'm thinking, you need this connection. So I'm thinking to myself, I guess God put in my heart to, this is what I want Rose of Alpha Omega to look like, a sisterhood of people that's encouraging you and lifting you up in your walk with God. So it is through my Shashas and some other experiences that I have the ministry of Rose of Alpha Omega and all of this stuff that's going on. But that was a good, no one asked me that question before, but that it's good to clarify that about what the Shashas is, because they are a very important part of my life. You know, they keep me grounded, and I can spend like months not talking to them. And if I need something in a drop of a bat, they're there to pray with me. You know, so even my method of texting, you know, when someone you text something and someone know you're not yourself, that's how well we know each other. It's like more than blood. I know something is wrong in my spirit. I feel something is wrong. So
that was when you met them, right?
Yeah, I met them in college.
Okay.
Yeah. And at different points, so at different point, I think I met Linja first. And after that, then I met Jennifer and all the others, but we didn't truly become the Shashas until we went to conferences together and we just started hanging out together and started doing everything together, going to after our outreaches, because we would have on campus, we would have Thanksgiving outreach for the college. We have a Thanksgiving concert where we would have some artists come and perform and we would feed the college students. So that was amazing. Awesome. And then afterwards we would go to Denny's and just hang out. So it was a good way to fellowship. And we just started more and more doing life, becoming more transparent, becoming more open spiritually with each other. And we grow that bond that's stronger than a sister, I guess you can say. So that's how we met each other and how we grow. I think the last Shasha to join us was Jamila. I don't think we opened it up more yet, but it's just, that was like, you know, once you start doing that for someone, now we understand why the Shasha didn't want anybody else to come into their little group because you're able to let your hair down and be open and transparent, and you know it's a safe place. They won't judge, like that person will not judge you. You know,
was that the transitional phase for you into your walk with God? Did it bring you closer to God?
Your sister, as far as
in your life?
They challenged me to go deeper. I feel like there's many different stages. So from Campus Crusade to the Shashas, that was like a major part. You know, there's another one before that, but it was the more like ministry direction was when I went to Africa for a month for a mission trip. But I was just more God pointing me in the right direction of not doing medicine anymore, but doing business school. And I didn't know why. That was a whole big transition and knowing God, you know, spending that month away from my family and just knowing God for myself. But when I came back, the Shashas were the one that, okay, who hold me accountable, you know, for a thing that you're doing, and they love you despite if you fall, they will pick you up and love you and say the thus says the Lord, and then love you anyways and push you forward, and they will pray with you and believe God with you, and through losses, through celebrations, they're there with you and they help push me forward to that. That was the greatest. That's right now. It's still my foundation. It is still my foundation. The another level that I took me to another level in my walk with God is being a part of Redeeming Word. Mm-hmm. So I know I didn't, and we mentioned past at an event, but being a part of Redeeming Word gave me a different dimension. I feel like it's like each stage is like another step I'm stepping on of like walking in excellence, understanding the Word of God, living in the Spirit, having that spirit of excellence. That was another dimension of, you know, of, okay, being, you know, being walking in integrity and seeing that. So that was another level of my walk with God that was built. And then I think right after that, it was when I was starting to do my master's in divinity, where I was really challenged.
What school did you go to?
I went to St. Thomas University. And when one of my shashas recommended me to go to, she went to do her PhD there. And she said, she went to do her master's there. And she said, I'm going to do my PhD, but I really think this program is good for you. I was like, I was thinking, man, a Catholic school? I'm not even Catholic. But she's like, no, it's not what you think it is. So I joined, and it was so, I said, ecumenical basically means it's all encompassing, it's universal, but it actually shows you to walk with your walk with God and live it practically. So, and I really love, because I felt like every day I went to class at St. Thomas University, it was like a retreat. And the professors, they actually, it was not more than like you're just a number. It was actually, you are a person, you are a being, you are valued, and you know, what you're learning is important. But I had one professor, she would love you, and if your paper was not good, she would give you the D. She'll talk to you about it. But I think she pushed me and challenged me And I feel like she was like one of my best professors too, because she pushed me and challenged me. When I look at when I first started my master's to when I ended, I started my master's single and I ended my master's married with a child. And I lost a child during that process too. So just a little, I'll talk about that lost another time, but during that process, I dealt with all of that. Going in single, not having a relationship, saying, God, I'm going to focus on you. I'm going to do this master's. Mm-hmm. I'm done with relationship, to God saying, okay, since you're done, here is your husband. Here is your husband. This is who you're going to marry, you know, going to do life with him and going through all this transition of military life and having and be getting pregnant, losing a baby, then getting pregnant again and having that community of support. Yeah, there for you. Because I know I can just mention one thing about the miscarriage I want to share about that, just to mention support. When I had a miscarriage, when I went to work, I was fine. I was able to teach and fine and go home. I think, okay, I'm able to teach so I can go to school. I have class that night. I went to class. My husband drove me to class. I got into class. I sat down. My husband was waiting in the parking lot for me. Someone asked me, my professor, asked me, how are you doing? I started crying. Mm. They're like, okay, so you need to go home. They called my husband and said, she can't stay. She's not doing well. So mm-hmm. it's like, okay, they say, you can take your time. We're praying for you. It's okay. Go home. So I was like, I'm thinking, Lord, how come I was fine at work and I was not fine at school? But because I felt like that was my family. So that's how close you were to your peers
and your professors. Yeah.
Yeah. So when I graduated, I was the only one I graduated with a Master's of Divinity, because I entered the program doing a Master's in Practical Pastoral Care and Counseling, Pastoral Care, which was supposed to be a 2-year program. And in the middle of it, you know, God led me to switch over to do the Master's in Divinity program, which is a 5-year program. So, which was 72 hours. And I cried throughout this whole entire 5 years. You don't understand. Like, why did I change? I had so much to go, and why did I do that? But it was worth it. I was the only one that graduated with a Master's of Divinity that time. And the way that they do the graduation is everybody else go first in the divinity program. I mean, the theology school go last, because they go in alphabetical order, and theology is T. But in theology, they had all the PhDs go walk first, and then the master's program. And my divinity, since I was the only one walking, I was the last one to cross the stage. So I'm like, Lord, you know, that I think when I walked through that and I had a celebration with you guys don't know how much tears and sweat. So when I told you I wanted to celebrate at Book of the People, and I don't care how much it costs.
The blood, tears, and sweat covered the fee, right?
Exactly. I just need to celebrate that I did. I was done. Mm. I was done. And I feel like it was worth it, because I did a lot of growing and it helped me a lot with where I am right now. So I'm able to see people where they're at differently, you know? So, yeah, but right now where, you know, as I said, I shared my journey, my faith journey, but this is where I am right now, you know, taking all this experience and all this life with, you know, because military life gave you a whole different level of spirituality there too. Well, yeah, a lot of growing. And that
a lot just, of grace.
A lot of grace. And I feel like God have us go through that experience for a reason. Mm-hmm. And I don't regret it. I don't regret it. And military life is different, but I'm getting used to it. And that's actually, I'm used to it so much that it's kind of different being part of the civilian world. You know, because you're so used to hearing certain things in the morning, hearing certain things in the afternoon, and having some sort of common courtesy, and not being around it is different. But what I really, really treasure was working with a mill spouse and serving them and having those studies and those book studies. So that even helped transform the way that I do ministry right now, because I know some people, you have to make friends quickly. So it showed me how to get to know people quickly and minister to them, you know, minister to them as right there and there, because you don't always have a chance to make a second impression, to pour into someone a second time. So you have to do it while you can right now.
Mm.
So that's one of the things I have. So I just shared a lot about me ministry wise, but we'll go into detail. Is there anything else you want to dive into? But we'll go more in detail throughout our season if there's any questions that people arise. But one thing I do know that I've learned and from my faith journey with God is that everything is a stepping stone. That everything that we go through, God is using it. You might not think it's necessary, is not needed, but it is a stepping stone to where God is calling you.
Mm-hmm.
And I can go back and look and I see, okay, because I went through this, I'm able to help here. Because I went through this, I'm able to help here. And that's why God was using it. We don't get to see the whole puzzle, but God give us peace every single step of the way. And we just need to be faithful to keep on taking that climb up. My journey is not done. It's still continuing. And the same thing I would say to the listener, just to continue to take that piece of the puzzle and move forward in faith. So, amen. So.
Amen. Thank you so much, Marlene, for sharing your story. Gosh, did you guys learn anything about that? I mean, for her to be able to just put herself out there and tell you guys how God just intricately moved in her life. He knew exactly what he was doing. It was like a tapestry. He was just weaving her through different channels of her life and different areas of her life just to make her who she is today.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sister Marlene. That was
thank you for listening.
Powerful and, you know, story.
I like this. I like just sharing my story. I never had an opportunity. I'm glad to have the opportunity to share that story.
It definitely is a way for people to understand and to know where you come from. You know, a lot of times we kind of can show a certain kind of strength, and then people hear your story and they're like, oh, so that's where it comes from. It comes from God, but it also comes from some things that she's been through.
So
thank you for sharing your story.
Yay. All right. So next time we're going to hear your story.
Yes, next time is mine.
Yeah.
So you guys, so next time is my story. So next time.
Bye. My dear sister, I hope you enjoyed the conversation that I had with Erica, just sharing my story. And it was such a pleasure for me just to take a moment to stop, pause, and reflect and share how God drew me into a relationship with him, how he used all these different things in my life, all these different chapters in my life to develop who I am right now. And I just want to encourage you that even you, your story, there's power in it. And we invite you to share your story with others. Find one other person and tell them your story, because there is power in your story. What God has taken you through is not only for you. It is to encourage others into a relationship with God. So share your stories with others. Now, if you do want to be a guest on our podcast and you want to share, please send us a message. We would love to hear your story, and we would love to see if we can share it with the world also. So I just want to encourage you this week, no matter how hard things get, that to understand that what you're going through is just a stepping stone to where God is taking you. And I always like to encourage you to speak life over your mind, body, heart, and soul. Until next week, take care of yourself. Bye.
Sisters Speak Life is a ministry of Roses Alpha Omega. Find out more at roseofalphaomega.org.